Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I'm Yota, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining Eurobank Ergasias conference call to present and discuss the first quarter 2018 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Stavros Ioannou, Deputy CEO. Mr. Ioannou, you may now proceed.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Eurobank first quarter 2018 results presentation. Let me first introduce the team here with me, Mr. Harris Kokologiannis, our Chief Financial Officer, and the Investor Relations team. Together, we will present our results, and then we will answer your questions during the Q&A session. On the macroeconomic background, Greece reached a staff level agreement on the fourth program review, while negotiations on the debt relief and the post-program architecture are ongoing. Sentiment and market confidence should further improve once these milestones are cleared. In such a scenario, we see expectations for GDP growth of 2% as attainable. This is based on double-digit increase in investments from a low base, though, another strong tourism season, improving employment and stable private consumption, while on the negative side, net exports are going to be affected by higher oil prices. Last but not least, the stress test conducted according to the EBA methodology confirmed the Greek bank's resilience. The highlights of our financial results for the first quarter of 2018 are shown on slide four of the presentation. We had net profits of 57 million euro in the first quarter. The core pre-provision income was stable at 200 million euro year-on-year, but lower 7.6% from the previous quarter. It was affected by the cost of newly issued Tier 2 bonds, the days effect of the quarter, and lower fees and commissions. Operating expenses were down 1.3% year-on-year, with Greece actually 3.3% lower. On asset quality metrics, our NPE formation was a negative 210 million euro, while the NPE stock was reduced by 500 million euro last quarter. The NPE ratio decreased by 70 basis points in the first quarter and reached 41.8%, while the ratio of provision over NPEs reached 56.1%, improved by 60 basis points in the last quarter. Given our performance so far, our planned initiatives for the rest of the year, as well as the improved legal framework, including the accelerated pace of the auctions, we are confident we will meet the NPE reduction target for the full year. On liquidity, the gradual return of deposits continued, and deposits increased last quarter by 1.4 billion euro. ELA funding decreased by 4 billion euro from December 2017. The trend of positive growth in business lending we saw in 2017 was reaffirmed in the first quarter of 2018. On capital, we ended the quarter at Common Equity Tier 1 ratio of 15.1% and the fully loaded Basel III ratio at 12%, while the total capital adequacy ratio stood at 17.8%, among the highest in the sector. Most importantly, our capital position was confirmed by the successful completion of the EBA stress test. Turning now on our international operations. Our international operations are consistently profitable and self-funded, while profits increased by 22% year-on-year, reaching 33 million euro in the first quarter. The disposal of our Romanian operations, agreed last year, was completed in April, effectively meeting the restructuring plan commitments. In conclusion, based on our performance in the first quarter, we are confident that we will meet all our operational targets for the year. That is, to be profitable in 2018, to meet our NPE reduction plan, and to accelerate new loan disbursements. At this point, I would like to ask our CFO, Harris Kokologiannis, to present our results in detail before opening the Q&A session.
Thank you, Stavros. Moving on slide seven and on funding and liquidity. As shown on the top left of the page, the latest reading of ELA funding stands at 3.9 billion euro. That is 4 billion lower than last December's figure. The decrease is mainly driven by public and private deposits inflows, market repos, and the proceeds from the sale of Bank Post. As regards the capital position on page eight, our CET1 ratio as at quarter end, and including the full year effect of regulatory transitions, amounted to 15.1%. On a fully loaded basis, CET1 amounted to 12%, while total capital ratio, including the newly issued Tier 2 bonds, amounted to 17.8%. Moving on page 11 and on loans and deposits evolution. In the first quarter of the year, gross loans, excluding write-offs and FX effect, had a growth of 104 million euro, coming from the business portfolio in Greece, Bulgaria and Cyprus. The growth in the above three segments amounted to 270 million euro and more than offset the amortization of the mortgage portfolio in Greece. Group deposits increased by 1.4 billion euro, mostly coming from Greece, while loans to deposit ratio improved further this quarter to 102%. On page 13, lending and deposit spreads, as well as net interest margins evolution, are presented. On lending spreads, it is now shown separately the spreads of performing and non-performing loans on a gross basis, which provides a clear picture of the margins evolution for the various business segments. Moving on page 14, net interest income for the group remains stable on a yearly basis and decreased quarter on quarter by 4.8% to 355 million euro. The main drivers of this movement are shown at the right part of the page, where the Tier 2 cost and the day's effect. The lower margin on Greek loans and on international business have been fully offset by lower ELA costs and higher bonds income. On page 15, net commission income is stable year on year and decreased quarter on quarter by 8.4%. The decrease mainly relates with the seasonality on platform fees and the lower commissions from capital markets and investment banking activities. On page 16, operating expenses decreased on a yearly basis by 1.3% for the group and by 3.3% in Greece. As per the bottom right of the page, the number of staff in Greece decreased in the last two quarters by more than 500 people, while branches were reduced in the last 12 months by 20% to 350. The above, apart from driving costs lower, they also signal the gradual transformation to more digitized channels and infrastructure. Further on pre-provision income and on page 5. On the top left of the page, our core PPI is stable compared to the first quarter of 2017 and decreased by 7.6% quarter on quarter for the reasons already mentioned. Pre-provision income amounted to 233 million euro at first quarter 2017's levels and lower than the previous period, also due to lower other income. On page 9 and on international business, net profit from recurring operations for the first quarter amounted to 33 million euro, higher year on year by 22% and at par with the previous quarter, as the lower core PPI was offset by lower provisions cost. Moving on asset quality and on page 6. As shown on the top left of the page, negative NP formation amounted this quarter to 210 million euro, driving the NPs ratio down by 70 basis points to 41.8%. Provisions in the first quarter amounted to 167 million euro, 40 million lower than the previous period. Cost of risk over net loans decreased to 1.86%. Finally, and as a result of the above, NPs coverage increased by 60 basis points to 56.1%. On page 18 and on the left part, it is shown that at the end of the first quarter, NPEs as per SSM perimeter amounted to 17.8 billion, 300 million euro better than the target. On the right part of the page, it is presented the contribution of the different drivers to the decrease of NPE stock. Furthermore, the breakdown of NPE's net flows into inflows, outflows, and cash collections is also shown. Moving on page 21, and in the context of IFRS 9, we introduce information related to the quarterly movements for the stages 1, 2, and 3, as well as the respective provisions coverage as at quarter end. On page 25, it is presented the progress of auctions as follows. On the left part of the page, it is shown that as of the end of February, when electronic auctions were introduced, the number of auctions has substantially increased. More specifically, and in this context, since the beginning of the year, the bank auctioned successfully almost 630 properties, acquiring the majority of them. This completes my presentation, and we may now open the floor for your questions.
The first question comes from the line of Floriani Jonas with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for the presentation. Quick question on the on your 90-day formation on page 6. Can you please elaborate on that, on the positive tick on the top right? Second point is on deposits. Just interested to understand if there's any movement coming from public sector, from cash buffers into your deposits, and how that compares to your private sector flows. And also, finally, I think you know, if you could just update us on NII trends now for 2018. I mean, I understand the movement that we have now, especially considering the Tier 2 costs, and we know how challenging it is as well on the asset side. So, if you can elaborate a bit on the moving parts of the rest of the year now, you know, considering the what you already know and how you see things moving forward, it would be great. Thank you.
Okay, let me answer the first question about our 90 plus formation that has been turned positive. Actually, to explain the trend, please go to page 23. In page 23, we are actually presenting the 90 plus formation per segment. As you will see, in all segments, with the only exception of corporate, our 90 plus formation is actually negative, and it follows a similar trend in the last two quarters. And it goes, as you will see, only adversely for the corporate portfolio. And actually what this is actually one single corporate name with a formation of 116 million, and this is that causes the distortion. Yeah. The second one about the deposits, I have to tell you that the private sector deposits in the Greek market, based actually on the statistics that they were recently announced by Bank of Greece, was up by 600 million in the first 4 months of the year. The total market deposits, including also the general government, increased by 3.6 billion over the same period in question. Now, the Eurobank deposits increased by 1.3 billion in first quarter 2018, and this is split between 1 billion from the public entities and 300 million from the private sector. This is the explanation and how the things are moving in terms of deposits.
Regarding your question about net interest income, as you may see on page 14, and as we explained in the first quarter, our net interest income Q&Q was 4.2% down and at previous year's level. The quarterly movement is basically explained from the Tier 2 costs and the days effect, as in the first quarter we have 90 days versus 92 in the previous one, while the downside from loans and international were fully offset from lower ELA costs and higher bonds income. Now, going forward, we should expect for the full year some mid-single-digit reduction, mainly driven by first by the Tier 2 cost, second by the lower interest on NP loans, and third by some lower margins in the corporate performing portfolio, that will offset the lower funding cost coming from lower ELA and lower deposit cost. This is the outline of how we expect to move on NII.
Okay, thanks. And just finally, a quick follow-up. When you say that you're confident in meeting your targets for 18, meaning positive profitability, NP targets, and also new disbursements, what is the level of new disbursements you're targeting now for 18?
Actually, in Greece, we should expect approximately 400 million euro increase in the balances of gross loans. However, this is more impressive than it looks because we have to cover the amortization of mortgages, that it is close to 400 million euro. So on the corporate and business, in general on the business portfolio, we should expect an increase by close to 700 to 800 million euro.
Thank you.
The next question comes from a line of Bayraktari Kiliki with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for the presentation. Three questions on my side, please. Firstly, could you please tell us what would be the impact on your CET1 ratio from the mark-to-market of Greek government bonds in Q2 until today, given that the spreads have moved upwards again? The second question is, you are guiding for NII to be down by mid-single digit, and that includes the improvement overall in the cost of funding, I presume mainly on the back of the ELA decline. Do you see any risk that as Greece exits from the bailout in August, your funding cost in terms of market repos or sort of like central bank funding could increase? And thirdly, we have seen some Irish banks disclosing their MREL requirements. Have you engaged in any discussion with the Single Resolution Board on MREL, and do you have any plans to issue sub or senior debt this or next year? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kiliki, for your questions. So starting from the Greek sovereign, actually, you have close to 2.4 billion euro holdings that are classified as fair value through OCI. The movement quarter to day is close to, as we speak, because we are talking about an unprecedented volatility in the markets, is close to 60 million euro. That it is the impact is around 15 basis points. Regarding your second question on net interest, on let's say the potential impact in case of once Greece exits the program, probably you are talking about the possible lift of waiver and what would be the effect. Currently, we get close to 400 million euro funding from placing Greek government bonds and treasury bills to the ECB. If there is a lift of waiver, this funding should be replaced by ELA or through market repo transactions. But as you understand, due to the low amount, the impact is immaterial. Regarding MREL, of course, we are in discussions with SRB in presenting on a yearly basis our resolution plan. However, we have been exempted from so far, and it is not clear at all what is going to happen in 2018. We have been exempted for being provided a binding MREL target. Now, regarding the possible issuances going forward, first of all, I have to say that, as you know very well, Eurobank is the only Greek bank that has already issued 950 million euro Tier 2 bonds. These bonds are held by the Greek state and count by 250 basis points towards our total capital adequacy ratio, which is one of the highest in the Greek banking sector. And furthermore, as per the stress test results, no capital shortfall emerged in either the baseline or the adverse scenario, and the bank was not called to submit a capital plan as a result of the exercise. Therefore, we do not need do not intend as well to issue new Tier 2 or new Tier 1 or Tier 2 securities. Now, depending on the market conditions, of course, we may explore the possibility of gradually placing into the market part of the Tier 2 bonds held by the Greek state, that for which the cost, as we have informed the market, is 6.4%, which is tax deductible as well. However, despite the progress made as far as the fundamentals of the sovereign, the Greek banking sector and Eurobank, market conditions have become challenging due to the external factors and the latest developments in the region. And given that we are not in a rush, we will consider all available options before taking our final decisions and subject to market conditions at that time.
Thank you. If I may just follow up on my second question on your funding cost, I understand that the impact of the waiver is of potentially lifting the waiver may not be that material, but I guess what I had in mind was you do use Greek government bonds and other instruments as collateral for your market repos. Do you see any risks that the cost of doing market repos may increase as we are moving into a risk-off environment?
For the moment, we have not such an indication.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Boulouris Alexandros with Wood & Co. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Could you just clarify the 50 bps impact from AFS that you point on Core Equity Tier 1, which 98 million, what that refers to? Not sure if you went through in the first part of the call. And also the 36 million restructuring costs, if we could have a bit more details on that. Thank you.
Sure. You may see on page 8 of the presentation, the 50 basis points negative impact comes both from RWA's increase by 477 million euro and capital decrease of 98 million euro. In the first quarter, RWAs increased by 477 due to increase of RWAs from loans by 200 million euro, another 220 million euro from market risk, and 60 million euro due to other factors. The 98 million capital impact is exclusively due to the mark-to-market of our sovereign exposure in the first quarter of the year. Regarding your second question, the 36 million is exclusively associated with the voluntary exit scheme that encompassed 300 people that left in the first quarter from the bank in the context of a voluntary exit scheme.
So the saving from that will be from Q2 onwards?
To the major part, yes, as they have left towards the end of the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. A small part has been incorporated already, but the majority will come to the next quarters.
Okay. As a follow-up, in your previous call, you had provided a guidance for cost of risk, I think, slightly below 200 bps on net loans. Is that still the case, or...?
Yes, it is still the case, so we should expect cost of risk to move at levels below 2% of net loans.
Okay, thank you.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Bayraktari Kiliki with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my follow-up question. As we have now moved past the stress test exercise, could you give us a bit more color with regards to your NPE reduction targets discussion that you are planning to have this September? Given that you currently have targets until 2019, have you been given an indication or what are your expectations with regards to the targets after 2019 and all the way to 2020-2021?
Yeah, sure. Let's go first to page 18, where we have the NPE stock evolution versus the SSM targets. As you will see in the first quarter of 2018, we're able to record NPE net flow of 238 million, while the collateral liquidation was 52, the write-offs 57, and the sales 26. What you will see there and what you will notice is that the collateral liquidation is 52 million. The reason for that is that the e-auctions, which is vital for the collateral liquidation, has only started in the last month of the quarter, so we are expecting this figure to increase much more in the quarters to come. Now, in 2017, the mix of the NPE reduction in stock was coming from the net flows, write-offs and sales that accounted approximately 30% each, while the collateral liquidation was 10%. To give you an indication and a guidance, we expect this to double as a final contribution to the total reduction. Now, we feel confident that we'll be meeting the NPE reduction targets for 2018. Just to mention that in 2017, we reduced the stock of NPEs by 2.4 billion, as you see on the left-hand side of the page. And if you take also into consideration that we have outperformed our 2017 target by 300 million, the 2000 target for 2.5 billion reduction, which is similar to the 2017 performance, we feel that is feasible. So, you know, we are committed and confident that we'll meet this target. And if we talk about the period between 2016-2019, actually, which is the dates that we have started the NPE reduction plan, you will see that if we achieve the targets, as we have indicated, then the cumulative reduction of NPEs will be close to 40%, which, of course, is by far the largest ever recorded. However, even after that, after this achievement, the NPE ratio will still remain high. So the NPE reduction has to be extended beyond this period. And we are already working on an updated NPE plan, which is still rather early to be more specific, but we will update you in due course.
Thank you.
We have a question from the line of Floriani Jonas with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just back on your previous point now, just now. On your updated NPE reduction targets, I mean, what is the latest on your engagement with third parties, servicers, Project Solar, those kind of stuff? And also, if you can make any comments on how likely you think you guys are in terms of engaging into more sales than currently budgeted. That's it from my side. Thanks.
Starting from your second question, I mean, it is obvious that Eurobank was the first bank that sold an unsecured loan portfolio in 2017. We have contributed, I believe, to the creation of a secondary NPL market, which, okay, we have to accept that still remains quite thin, but is improving. Now, in 2018, we have plans to sell another portfolio of unsecured loans of an amount up to 1 billion. Now, over the next few months, we also be able to update you about the transaction that is related to secured NPEs, but when the time comes, I mean, we will inform you about that. Now, on your first question, which was about the selling of portfolios, I think that I have answered that. Is that an answer that
it was more related to the third parties, right, to the servicers and Solar, and not necessarily selling, but on the collaboration with Even on the NPL forum with the other banks, but also with the other guys that might take a look at your retail portfolios or SMEs or something like that?
Actually, in order to achieve our ambitious targets, we have to work and exploit a number of alternatives and options, and some of them it is of course the solar, that it is the cooperation among four banks for a population of approximately 2.5 billion euro SME loans, where we'll be serviced under the supervision and the responsibility of DuBank. Regarding the retail portfolio, we have the privilege to have our own servicer, which has a very strong franchise. Actually, we are the only bank that has a fully owned subsidiary that deals, is a licensed servicer and deals with a retail portfolio exceeding 15 billion euro of loans. So so far there is no any let's say issue to of course to explore any option, but FPS is giving us a unique advantage on this field.
Cool, thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Ioannou for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you all for your participation. We are looking forward to seeing you in our next roadshows or in Athens. Goodbye.